Chapter 12 A Change of Realms From Earth to Heaven. We have seen that regeneration is an exchange of realms. The Christian is one who is no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. But these are not the only realms exchanged in regeneration. The eighth representation of regeneration that we will consider has to do with the Christian's translation from the earthly sphere into the heavenly sphere.
If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immortality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
According to Colossians 2, 20 through 22, Christians are no longer living in the world. They have died to that realm and have passed into a different realm. This world of temporary and material things, things destined to perish with the using, is no longer the sphere of their life. What is the sphere of their life? The answer is given in the verses that follow, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You have been raised up with Christ. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is our life. The Christian is one who has died, and his life is hidden with Christ in God. He lives in the heavenly realm. When the sphere of his life was still this earth, he walked according to the earthly realm. In them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now the sphere of his life is heavenly, and he is exhorted to realize that fact and to set his mind on things above. Beloved Christian, you belong to the heavenly places. You are no longer part of this world. You have been crucified to the world, and the world to you, only your mortal body, which has not yet been redeemed, is still down here in this earthly realm. That is why Paul exhorts us to put to death the members which are upon the earth. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Not of this world.
You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. John chapter 8, verse 23.
In these words to the Jews, our Lord again speaks of the earthly and heavenly realms. As we would expect, he speaks of himself as belonging to the heavenly sphere. What we do not expect is what he says a few chapters later about all Christians.
The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John chapter 17, verse 14 and 16.
Christians are not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. As partakers of his heavenly life, they belong to a different realm. They have been born from above and are part of a new order. They despise the things that the world highly esteems and cherish the things that the world despises. The stone which the builders rejected as being worthless is precious and foundational to them. Their motives and actions are an enigma to the world. They gaze on things that are unseen and pattern their lives according to invisible realities. They understand the hidden wisdom, which is foolishness to the world. They have the mind of Christ. For this reason, the world does not know them, because it did not know him. In light of these realities, it is little wonder that the world hates Christians. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Citizens of heaven.
Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, 19 through 20.
In sharp contrast to those whose God is the flesh, and whose minds are fixed on earthly things, Christians are already citizens of heaven. They live and move in the heavenly kingdom, and their minds are set on things above. Their hearts are in heaven, from which they eagerly await the return of their Savior and King.
Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Galatians chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, 22, and 23.
We see again in these verses that Christians are the freeborn citizens of the Jerusalem above. They have come not to a mountain that they may be physically touched, but to an invisible and heavenly one, Mount Zion, the city of the great King. They are right now a part of the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Along with all those who have already died and gone before them to heaven, this is the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Because their hearts are fixed upon this permanent heavenly Jerusalem, Christians are willing to forsake the security of all temporal earthly establishments and to go to Christ outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come.
And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 3. Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 11.
Who is the holy city, New Jerusalem? None other than the bride, the wife of the Lamb. This city, the bride, now resides in heaven, but in the consummation will come down out of the heaven from God. God himself will then forever dwell among his people, and the glory of God will forever rest upon them. Oh, the blessedness of being even now a part of this heavenly city, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode, on the rock of ages founded. What can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile on all thy foes. See the streams of living waters, springing from eternal love, well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fears of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name, fading in the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. John Newton.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, like Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6.
Because we are in Christ and are partakers of his resurrection life, we find ourselves seated with him in the heavenly places. In him we possess every spiritual blessing and are lacking in nothing. We have been granted everything pertaining to life and godliness. Christians have no need for something more in addition to Christ. Their great need is to see and enter into the reality of what they already have in him. It is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit to bring this to pass. Paul therefore prays for the Ephesians that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, so that they may know the surpassing greatness of God's power toward them as believers. This is the very same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Keep looking down. From all of these verses, it is clear that believers have their sphere and source of life in the heavenlies. They are no longer of this world. They no longer live here but in heaven. In our day-to-day experience, it makes a great deal of difference whether we view ourselves as down here in this world, like a diver on the ocean floor with a little lifeline connecting him to the surface far above, heaven, or whether we view ourselves as seated in heaven, looking down on the affairs of this life. It makes a great deal of difference whether our motto is, keep looking up to the realm where you do not yet belong, or keep looking down from the realm where you already are, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In practical terms, this means that Christians are not laboring to achieve a life that they do not yet have, or to obtain a victory that has not yet been won. They are participants in the very life of Christ and in the victory that He has already won. Christian, you are a partaker of the resurrection life of Christ, and He has already defeated and broken the power of sin that you are facing right now by His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. As a participant in His life, your calling is not to try to achieve something for yourself that He has not achieved, but to believe what He has already done for you and to walk in it. In this way, you will be enabled to fight the good fight of faith instead of the miserable struggle of unbelief. The same is true of our battle against the powers of darkness. We constantly need to be reminded of the fact that Satan has already been defeated by Christ on the cross, and that in Christ we are seated far above all the hosts of evil. We should read Ephesians 6, verse 12, in the light of this present reality. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the defeated rulers, against the dethroned powers, against the subjugated world forces of this darkness, against the vanquished spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As we humbly submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, we have the promise that even this roaring lion will flee before God's otherwise defenseless sheep. Glory to God.